Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And happy weekend once again, radio family. It is always wonderful to be back with you, to welcome you to the weekend edition of Community Focus, our public affairs show heard on our Odyssey stations every weekend. And it is time again, radio family, to share with you wonderful information with people who are doing continually some incredible things in our community, and a chance to engage in another wonderful conversation. In fact, this continues in our series on workforce development. So Joel Leonard, it is good to be back with you as we are continuing with what this weekend's theme will be, Give Work a Chance. And let me tell you, my friend, we have a third person joining us who has been family, just like you have been family, from day one, talking about building the pipelines of skilled technicians and helping to grow respect and appreciation of the maintenance profession. In fact, this wonderful woman, at one time, Joel, when you actually had the maintenance theme song, and this was your mantra, still is to a degree, but we fast forward to 2022. You want to do the honors, or shall I, or you want to do it together?
Well, you mean the honors of introducing my mother?
Yes.
the irreplaceable,
impeccable Mary
mother,
Stevens.
Mary Stevens.
Hello.
Who I sent the brand new lyrics that I wrote in inspiration after some of the issues that companies are struggling with and trying to find qualified workers, and people are ghosting when they get on the job and they don't show up and all that, and you just can't find a talent pool that's really wanting to work.
Right.
Well, Mother Mary, I asked her to put some music. I know she's got music in her soul that just comes out without even thinking about it. So
absolutely,
she took on this song, and so this is going to be the world premiere of the song called Give Work a Chance.
And right here on the weekend edition of Community Focus. Mother Mary, whenever you're ready, the floor is yours, my dear.
Oh, boy, I love y'all so much.
We love you, too.
I tell you, both of y'all are my babies. You know, tell your mamas I gave you the birth. I loaned them y'all for a minute, okay? But Joel challenged me, baby. And all I'm doing is saying, you know me, Lord, put some rhythm to what these words are, because look what he done did again, you know. So we're going to have some fun, but here I go. I may sound like I'm speaking another language. That's because I'm going stumbling through these words, but we're going to give it a shot, okay?
Oh,
take this job and love it. Soon boomers won't be here anymore. If you put your heart in it, your job comes more than a chore. Want to fix your financial mess? Just clean up your act and go. Take a drug test. Take this job and love it. soon boomers won't be here anymore. If your pride is in your work, your job will come something you will convert. Companies need new workers to grow up and definitely show up. Take this job and love it. Soon boomers won't be here anymore. Won't you fix your financial mess? Clean up your act and go take a drug test. So do more than just ghost. Get in there and make it the most. Remember, passion is what you put in, not what you'll get out. So love your job and you will make it. And it will be without a doubt. So take this job and love it. You better take this job and love it. You better take this job and love it. Soon boomers won't be here anymore.
Love that. I was trying to give you some hand claps in the back. I don't know if you heard that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Wonderful. I like that.
Oh, baby. God bless you.
You have a natural born talent. I have known you and your beautiful singing abilities for quite some time. Joel, I think Mother Mary's outdone herself on this one.
Oh, that was incredible. Absolutely. So the audience, you want to tell them about the challenge?
Yeah, so
to the
we
audience,
have
to the community.
Absolutely, Joel. So Radio Family, we have actually going to put forth to you as a listener challenge to get the lyrics from social media. And you can send your version and the best one, just maybe played on a future show. So just keep it here for all the particulars and the details. And again, that song is called Give Work a Chance. So thank you. That was nicely done.
Great way to start the day.
It is. It is.
Thank you, Mother Mary.
Thank y'all so much.
You're welcome.
Thank y'all for considering me. I love you.
Love you more, and it's so good to hear your voice. Stay in touch with me, okay?
Will do, baby. Will do.
Thanks for meeting the challenge, Mother Mary.
Absolutely.
We love you.
Thank you, my son. Thank you for believing. Believe it. We are believers. Okay. I love y'all.
Love you too.
Love you too.
To you soon.
All right.
You know
what
I mean? No goodbyes. Just until next time. Joel, that was awesome. It is so good to hear from Mother Mary. And you talk about a person who has such a beautiful and loving personality. She's definitely a people person, without question.
That's incredible. And she transforms lives.
Absolutely.
She literally takes people.
Absolutely.
And makes them think they can do things that they don't even know they can do.
Right. And that's the wonderful thing about her. And I'm sure that many in our radio family have known Mother Mary Stevens for a number of years. I know that you and I have had the pleasure of knowing her for such a long time, and just so happy to say that she's part of family. Really do appreciate
absolutely.
It. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's a fantastic way to get the weekend edition of Community Focus underway. And I do believe we have another new family member that'll be joining us here on the program.
Jason Hayes. And Jason Hayes is the, I went to school with him. He was 2 years behind me. And I got to know his father real well. His father was a monster of a man. He 6'5",
wow,
270-pound man, wow, and had shoulders. His arms were as big as my legs. And he had an efficiency rating at the furniture factory at Thomasville Furniture. Mm-hmm. That I don't know how many years he worked there, but it was a number of years. And he would go in and there would be piles of sawdust, stacks of tables, all these things that he would make in one day. And his my job was to do efficiency studies on the workers. I was a hated man because people didn't like me coming around and judging their performance.
Right.
This gentleman was deaf. So he never got into any type of rumors. He never had anybody bother him. He didn't bother anybody. And all he did was work. And again, he put two kids through Duke University.
Wow.
So this guy in efficiency ratings was 20% more than any other normal, hearing person. Right. And it was just incredible. Mm-hmm. What he did, and I admire the heck out of him. And so anyway, it's an honor to have Jason on the program here to share some of his perspectives as to what we can do to build the community, to transform. Our theme is called Give Work a Chance.
Right.
We live in a post-industrial society, right? I mean, everybody thought manufacturing was overseas. They didn't think it was coming back.
Exactly.
Well, it is.
Right.
And we've got to change our approaches, our mindset, our schools, our families, our governments, our training, everything has to be transformed. So that's what I hope Jason to give us some input. And then also we have, after him, we have Jeff Smith of Schmitty Notes, who anybody that's in Winston-Salem or Forsyth County knows him because he was the social calendar for and all the cultural events. He was the guy. He was the go-to source for that part of the triad. And he's done so many things. And so he's after Jason. So,
and Joel, while you're making that call, we will take a break. Thank you for the great company, Radio Family. You are listening to the weekend edition of Community Focus, and we will return right after this. And Radio Family, we again want to welcome you to the weekend edition of Community Focus, heard here on our Odyssey stations. Another great conversation as our series, Workforce Development with Joel Leonard, continues with me, Renee Vaughn. And Joel, you're in the process of giving Jason Hayes a call. A lot of good stuff that we're going to discuss here. And the theme for this week's show, again, is Give Work a Chance.
This is Jason Hayes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning.
Perfect. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, sir. How are you? Welcome to the Community Focus family. You are a newbie,
thank
sir,
you so
but that title is so short-lived with me. Your family now, it's official. And
thank you for that.
You're so welcome. And thank you for being a part of our workforce development series. The good thing that I've heard about you, Jason, is that Joel went to school with you and he worked with your dad, who was an incredible contributor to the community. And you definitely are a chip off the old block. And I mean that in the sincerest of ways. So thank you. You're welcome. And thank you so much for joining us here on the program. Now, my first question to you, and of course, Joel, feel free to add or interject anytime. But Jason, I wanted to begin by asking what cities can do to help companies fill the plethora of jobs in and around our communities?
Yes, great question. And thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely.
And thank you for that important question. You know, you mentioned my dad and Joel worked with my dad years ago. He graduated from the School for the Deaf and in 65 moved to Lexington. And at the time, Lexington was a bustling community of furniture and manufacturing jobs.
Right.
He worked at his first company for 18 years before it closed down and then moved to another furniture company. And it shut down after 22 and a half years there. So manufacturing today, as this group well knows, is very different than it was back in the 60s and 70s and even 80s.
Right.
And from a community standpoint, I think that due to the change and shift in the skill sets that are needed for today's manufacturing jobs, mm-hmm. we need to ensure that community leaders, community government, city government rather, local education systems are sitting down together talking about what companies today need in terms mm-hmm. of skill sets and ensure that we introduce those skill sets and what those jobs look like early and often to our community. Also working closely with agencies that work all day, every day on workforce readiness, just ensuring that we're all aligned and that all community leaders and stakeholders are singing from the same song sheet.
Absolutely. And what I like and what I'm just hearing from you, Jason, is the fact, and Joel was talking on this before we got you on the line, was the fact that in the days in which your father worked, and not only was he big in stature, as Joel shared with me earlier, but he was definitely big in heart in what he gave to the community.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Joel made an excellent point that in those days, when you talk about the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and even when the manufacturing jobs were leaving our areas by the droves, a lot of people did not have that mindset that those same manufacturing jobs are actually making a return, especially in 2022. We look at the advent of where technology is when we think about 3D printing and everything that we can do that has really put us in such a position, and especially with people. And I relate this that ever since the pandemic, it has had such an economic impact, not only on families, but in the workforce in general, because so many people were losing their jobs because of COVID-19. Yeah. People are still looking to seek employment because of COVID-19. And here we're hearing from individuals like yourselves that are saying the jobs are here. You don't have to go overseas to work for a company. You can work right here in your own backyard. And that's what I really appreciate. And thank you for being a part of this program. Anything you want to add to that, Joel?
No, I think Jason gave an excellent answer.
And
Jason is going to be a very formidable leader here, and he already is.
Yes.
And I'm just thrilled to have his insight with what I'm doing. And he was talking about getting kids ready, you know.
Likewise.
Well, I put $100,000 in this mobile maker space.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very difficult to get the school systems to let me in. So I appreciate his encouragement and helping get these kind of new novel programs off the ground and get them going.
Very true. And that's an excellent lead into the next question. Thank you for that, Joel. Jason, I want to ask, what can schools do right now to build higher tech talent?
Yeah, that's a great question, and thank you for that. You know, you mentioned just a minute ago about the plethora of jobs that are available. I just saw this morning, I was reading Yahoo Finance, and our January jobs report came out, and we actually have 11.3 million jobs that are available right now in the U.S.
Wow.
And that's a slight tick down from 11.4 in December.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that's a bit discouraging, and why this discussion is so important, is that the number of manufacturing job openings has actually increased from December to January by 85,000 jobs.
Right.
So the void is continuing to grow. And I think to Joel's point and to mine earlier, it's really important that our schools, I think, and communities are aware of the skill sets that are needed in order to get these high-tech manufacturing jobs, and that these concepts and internships as well are offered to our current student base early and often.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then even as they approach graduation from high school, that they're aware of all of the certification programs and continuing education that they can get at our local community colleges. I think that's critical. That's important. I was just talking to the chair of the North Carolina Board of Community Colleges, and he, you know, essentially verified that these jobs are open, and that community colleges can serve as essentially a gap solution for folks who are ready to learn, roll up their sleeves, and learn these skills and make a really good living wage, which is really important for all of our communities.
And Jason, thank you for sharing that. And I will add to your point in that, Joel Leonard, that's been your battle cry really since day one, is putting our community colleges on the map, because it's not to take away, of course, from any of the four-year colleges or universities. They serve a purpose too. But to know that our technical schools and our community colleges are just as equally up to the task of educating and especially training and getting young people ready to enter the workforce with the experience that these companies need, particularly now. So let me ask.
Absolutely, Renee.
Yeah.
We definitely need to build the pipeline of skilled technicians. Absolutely. We either hand it to them or drop it on them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Jason, let me ask you this final question of the morning. What can we do to break the cycles of poverty? Because I'm thinking in terms of, and it's getting back to the point that here is a wonderful opportunity for an individual who, let's just say he or she did lose their job. Here is an opportunity to sort of, as the expression goes, reinvent yourself. Because I think a lot of times we have this tendency to get into this comfort zone of doing things with a particular job. And we're a little scared to take that leap of faith. We're a little hesitant to go in a totally different direction. But that's really where it's leading for some people, is to either relearn or totally learn from scratch a new concept, a new way of being trained, a new way of how to take your work skills and apply them to a certain position. Your take on that?
You know, Renee, I guess I would say yes, yes, and yes. you are absolutely correct. You know, poverty is actually a very complicated issue. And typically, you know, complicated issues aren't solved with simple solutions.
Right.
But when you look at, for instance, in my community, where the poverty rate has increased over the last decade, unfortunately, there are really, as I see it, and have learned from other community leaders, there are really five kind of critical areas as it relates to poverty. Mm-hmm. One is, you know, ensuring that someone has housing. That's the first thing. The second thing is really physical and mental health support.
Right.
The third is food insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start to talk about the things that we've been talking about, education,
yes,
right? And then as well as workforce development. Those are really the five key areas that I've seen and researched as I've been talking with other community leaders. Winston-Salem, I think, has done a very, very good job. They're a leader in establishing what, you know, their goals and objectives are for
right.
tackling their poverty rate in their
yes.
community. And, you know, Mayor Joynes there has done a super job, and I've learned a lot from them. But I think really the key is focusing on those five key areas, ensuring that the community is on board with that in terms of all stakeholders, and supporting, you know, we have agencies and churches and a lot of folks that are doing great work every day. But it's really important, I think, to align and kind of formalize that that process from a municipality standpoint to ensure that we're doing everything that we can to start chipping away at our poverty rates in our community. And workforce development and education are a key component of that.
And thank you for sharing that, Jason. Joel, do you have any thoughts or comments to that?
I think that Jason put it very eloquently,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very thrilled that he could join us today.
I am too.
And I look forward to having him back in the family.
Absolutely. So family, welcome again to the Community Focus family. And thank you for the amazing things that you're doing in your community. I know without question your father would be so proud of you.
Renee, that means so much to me. I really, really appreciate
You're
it.
You're so
Thank
welcome.
You.
Absolutely.
Just one more question. I want Jason to explain what he saw when he came
yes.
visited me and saw the Dignitary Challenge, where we had kids compete with representatives and government officials and city leaders
mm-hmm.
with remote control race cars. Tell us
oh,
about
wow.
that, Jason.
So So, Joel, Renee, what I would say in a nutshell that I saw was that kids are a lot better at technology than adults are. Joel introduced a great concept, really, for folks that for kids that he had been working with over what I believe were a few days, and then put those kids together with some of the dignitaries and community leaders to team together to compete with some of the skill sets that are required in order to do our in order to perform these jobs that we've been talking about today. And I think some of our community leaders and dignitaries, including myself, could definitely brush up on these computer skills in order to be able to contribute to our workforce.
Right. And you know what? I will say this to a gentleman in closing. The young minds of this generation are just in incredible. My old mind can't even keep up with some things. So, to your point, Jason, kudos to our young ones and the capability with which they're able to do what they can do, and especially with the advent of technology. A lot has come along since the three of us were in our youth, but I'm still going to be young at heart. I don't know about you.
Same here.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much,
yes,
Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
Thanks so much for the invitation.
You're welcome. Radio family, again, great company here on the weekend edition of Community Focus. Good people definitely doing some wonderful things in our community. And we will have another new member joining us very shortly as we're about to make another phone call. But in the meantime, I do want to share with you there is another hiring event with Goodyear. Move forward, move now. So radio family, if you have your thinking caps on, and you can remember this, or if you need to grab a pen and a piece of paper, I'll give you a couple of seconds to write the date down for this hiring event, which is just around the corner, March 16th of 2022. And this is an open house hiring event, Goodyear Lake House. The address is 245 Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, Lane. And this will take place in Danville, Virginia. So a pleasant good morning to radio family in Danville, as Goodyear is hiring great people. And if you're looking for a challenging yet rewarding career path, you will enjoy being a part of the manufacturing team. So again, the hiring event is March 16th. The open house at Goodyear Lake House, 245 Jenny Lane, in Danville, Virginia. The time will be from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Walk-ins are welcome. And the pay range, will be anywhere from $23 to $34 per hour. And I'm rounding those numbers up. So here is a wonderful opportunity to find your opportunity today. Now, pay will be based on job placement. You must be 18 years of age. Must be able to complete all pre-employment contingencies, and please have the ability to work any shift and overtime if applicable. So again, March 16th, open house hiring event, Goodyear Lake House, 245 Jenny Lane in Danville, Virginia, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and walk-ins are welcome. And that's our other big story or news, Joel, that we wanted to share here on our workforce development series that continues on.
Well, at $22 or $33 an hour, that's $44,000 or $66,000 a year.
Yeah, that's not too shabby. Not at all.
Well, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we now have a new member of your family. This is a guy I know from my college years up in Elon.
Wow.
And I used to, believe it or not, the time I had my interaction I remember with him is that he was working in the kitchen area.
Yeah.
And I was the one who brought in peanut butter and put it on pancakes.
Really?
And it wasn't that long afterwards that everybody started trying that.
Wow.
And so he went to me and he says, "You're the guy that got that started. We have to buy so much peanut butter because of you."
Oh, man.
Is that bringing back memories or what?
That is bringing back memories.
So, so, you know, whenever you start something new, people look at you weird at first, and then it becomes a trend.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, you're a trendsetter.
That's right. That's right.
And you definitely are too, Jeffrey, or Jeff Smitty notes. This is a gentleman that pioneered the cultural communication system called Smitty Notes that literally revolutionized the cultural scene in Winston-Salem.
Wow.
And has been modeled and copied in other parts of our community and probably in other communities too. I just don't know about. So, but what I want Jeff to show us today or talk to us about is to give us insight as to we just landed 3,500 plus jobs.
Yeah.
And then I hope this Eastern European conflict doesn't slow that process down. But we already have a bunch of jobs already out there. Companies are looking to have hiring events all the time. I know of three major events coming up in the next couple of weeks. So what can we do, Jeff, to move from a, you know, what they call the post-industrial society to now we're a new industrial industry 4.0? How do we move that?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think we're at a good time in the triad to kind of like make a leap forward as far as how we interact in the business community. Before, we had textile jobs and furniture jobs and things of that sort, and those have kind of like gone away. They've moved offshore. But we have opportunity now with people who are looking for employment to be a little bit more technology driven. You know, folks that went to the community colleges, because I think GTCC does a great job preparing folks to go out in the work world, and also Forsyth Tech. They, you know, both have aviation schools.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that when Toyota was talking about coming to this area, that they spoke to the community colleges because they wanted a workforce that can be a pipeline into what they were doing. I think, you know, we're at a stage now that we're ready actually to kind of like move forward. And the workforce hopefully will move forward too.
And you know what I like about this too, Jeff, is you're sharing this wonderful information with us, is particularly for this generation of incoming students, whether it's graduating from high school or graduating from a tech school or four-year college or university. You know, there was a time, and I guess I'll use us as examples, where we had to literally wait on jobs, or we had to beg for those jobs because we were looking either for summer employment or transitioning full-time into the working world. But those jobs just weren't out there. But where we look at where we are in the stream of time, particularly in 2022, and that's really been the focus of our conversations for the day, is the fact that the jobs are here. The jobs just need to be filled by the people who are looking for the jobs. And whether it's, you know, high school graduates, college graduates, or as we were mentioning earlier, Joel, individuals that are looking to really just take their career in a totally different direction. Here we have Jeff Smith of Smitty Notes, which, by the way, Smitty Notes has been in Winston for how long now?
Oh, I'm celebrating my 25th anniversary this
Wonderful.
Year.
So really, yeah. Radio family should know of you, Jeff, and the wonderful contributions that you have made to the beautiful Twin Cities of Winston-Salem. Well, let me just be the first. Well, I won't be the first, but at least for this program, to say congratulations on 25
well, thank you.
Wonderful
thank you.
Years.
It's been
Welcome.
It's been a long ride and an interesting ride,
yes,
to say the least. But I work in the quality of life space. Mm-hmm. That is what encompasses Smitty's Notes and Smitty.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of like moving things that are going to be important to people as far as how they live. May it be, you know, apartment, being close to downtown, business recruitment.
Exactly.
You know, things of that sort, restaurants, mm-hmm. you know, stuff that people kind of like, it goes into the mix of when you kind of like bringing a business to the triad, the first thing they ask is, how's your downtown looking?
Exactly.
You know,
it's interesting you mention that because I have lived in Winston-Salem since the early 80s, transplanted here from Washington, D.C. to the area. And you talk about growth that just the city of Winston-Salem alone has seen. Because I remember there was a time like at 10, 11 o'clock, you try to go downtown. It was nothing open. You couldn't do anything because everything was closed. Right.
Yeah, 5:30, man, you see the cannon down 4th Street.
Absolutely. And not there you go. There you go. But now, as to what you alluded to, the growth of downtown, the growth of apartment living, and just the luxury apartments alone that are going up, just the whole atmosphere, it's kind of cool, even though it can be a headache sometimes when you're driving in 5 o'clock traffic and you get caught up in construction. But then you have an appreciation because it's like, wow, something new is coming to the city. How cool is that? So
and really, that kind of goes into the whole business recruitment, talent recruitment, workforce development. You know, if people can't find anything to do outside of work.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of factors into their decision, you know, do they want to work at that, you know, place or that facility?
Absolutely. And that's an excellent point, especially as we are trying to get to a new normalcy post-COVID. And a lot of us are transitioning yet again from working remotely from home to going back to the office scene, more or less. And for some people, like I said, if they have lost employment, here's an opportunity through these jobs in which they can gain new employment. And it could be something even bigger and better for a lot of people than what they had prior.
Right. Yep. And I think that's the most important thing that people need to realize is that, you know, things are changing and they're moving real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you take advantage of these opportunities?
Absolutely.
And I think that, you know, as a triad as a whole, we've had, you know, two big business announcements within the last 30 days, 60 days and everything. And it looks good for the triad. So our job is to make sure that, for one, Toyota comes here and has the people here to that they can recruit that kind of work here. And also, boom. And I think we're going to get there. But, you know. One of the big things that, you know, I tell people is that, you know, you always want to kind of like, you know, make yourself limber and not be stuck in your ways of how things used to be and look forward on how things can be.
That's right. Come out of the box. Come out of the comfort zone. Absolutely.
Yep.
I tell you, time flies when we're always engaged in great conversation. Joel, do you or Jeff have any closing thoughts or comments here on the weekend edition of Community Focus?
Well, I just want to thank Jeff. Oh, Jeff, you go first, and then I'll say a few things.
You know, thank y'all, you know, for doing this show because it kind of highlights what business sense or community business sense that the triad has, and with y'all kind of highlight that, and it, you know, you never know who's listening. Somebody might be listening who's thinking about, you know, either making a transition to Winston-Salem or Greensboro, or, you know, you never know if there's a business is looking to make a change and coming to the triad. So this kind of like helps out in the mix.
Now, before you say anything, Joel, let me just say thank you, Jeff, because without you, there would be no Community Focus and there would be no public affairs program such as this. So thank you for all you do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Don't worry. I won't get any more peanut butter.
Joel's trendsetter.
Yes. Jeff, you're the trend maker, man. I tell you, you unified that community in ways nobody thought could. I'm proud of you. So proud of you.
So am I.
And let me know when you want to go out and have some lunch sometime. Take care. We
appreciate
wish
it.
You the best.
All right. Thank you. You too, Jeff. Thank you. And thank you, Radio Family, for your wonderful company. As always, just, I tell you what, Joel, I just always enjoy my time with you and other members of our community-focused family. And you know we're going to do this again soon. Again, no goodbyes. Just until next time as we bring to a close another great conversation here on the weekend edition of Community Focus. Continue to stay safe and definitely enjoy the rest of your weekend. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.